I'd like to ask a favor this morning, if I could, and you might want to pull your feet back in because I'm going to step on your toes here in a minute. Next Sunday is our transition Sunday, where we officially and publicly say the interim is over and the new season of Brandon's ministry has begun, and you're not going to want to miss a minute of it. Sharon Lipton's even going to be here before the service starts, playing on the piano. So can you get off Moraga time tomorrow, next Sunday? And instead of showing up 10 to 15 to 20 minutes late for the service, be here early. You are not going to want a miss, seriously. You're not going to want to miss a minute of it. And I'm really not trying to dump guilt on anybody, seriously. I mean, I have been a father. I understand at the last minute, kids' stuff gets lost. You can't find the shoes. You can't find the socks. You know, stuff happens. People call. So no guilt. But, yeah, just seriously, I would think you're going to want to enjoy next Sunday. It is going to go a little longer. I think we've tried to tell you that. But I think it's a great Sunday to go a little bit longer and enjoy. Which means today we've come to the last and fourth of the final sermons in the Launch Well series. Now, each Sunday has had its own subject matter that the scriptures have brought to our attention, but underneath each one of those subjects has been a common reoccurring theme, and that is our personal choices that we make at this season are really going to impact how we as a church launch with Brandon. Now, it may be awkward to face the fact, but it doesn't mean that it's not real, and that is personal choices determine corporate culture. And there's one more set of choices that we need to look at this morning, but before we talk about it, let me open up in a word of prayer, please. Join me. Father, you have given me the joy and the privilege of Sunday after Sunday with this body of believers opening up the Word of God together for these last 8 months. And so once again this morning, I want to commit this time to you because all of us desperately, myself included, desperately want to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. His ministry is that of teaching and leading us into all truth. And we need that this morning again. So, Father, may you find us to be good soil, not hard, not rocky, not distracted by other things with weeds, but good soil that will bear fruit 10, 20, 100 times over because of our engagement with your word this morning. So can I pray one more time, Father? May we not be the same person we were as we walked in this morning because of these few minutes that we have together hearing from you. Father, that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Every day, we as Americans are exposed to anywhere between 3,000 and 10,000 advertisements. Each one of these ads is seeking to persuade us to make a choice. And so the avalanche of marketing that comes our way is seen in radio and television. It's seen everywhere on the internet. It's seen on t-shirts that people wear. It's even seen on the bumper sticker of the car that's in right in front of you. And every single one of them is shouting out to you, "Choose me." Have you ever considered just the number of choices you have to make when you walk into a supermarket? I walked up and down the aisles. Crest toothpaste, 8 product lines, all with multiple sizes. Campbell's condensed soup, 92 varieties spread over 10 different styles. Tropicana Pure Premium Orange Juice, you have eight sizes to pick from. Breyers ice cream, get this. You can go natural, French, half the fat, no sugar added, extra creamy, homemade, lactose-free, carb smart, and that's just for one flavor, vanilla. Cheerios, one of my favorites. You've got 11 different varieties to pick from. Tide liquid detergent, 10 varieties. Here's my favorite. Head and Shoulders shampoo. Active Sport, Old Spice, Deep Clean, Hair Endurance. Why does my hair need to endure? Refresh, Extra Strength for Men, Citrus Breeze, Ocean Lift, Dry Scalp Care with Almond Oil, Classic Clean, Sensitive Scalp Care, Itchy Scalp with Eucalyptus, Smooth and Silky, Extra Volume, Green Apple, Damage Rescue, Extra Strength, Clinical Strength, and seven more. Is it any wonder that when Consumer Reports did a survey of 3,000 households, 36% said they were overwhelmed by the information they had to process to make a buying decision? Now, we understand when you walk into a supermarket, all the options there are intended to satisfy what we believe is a need that we have. Yet the decisions that we make when there's a pastoral transition in a church are not to be based on what we believe are our needs, but rather, what does Jesus Christ want for his church? That's why I'm convinced that when a church is facing a pastoral transition, that the best analogy to grab a hold of is that of a rocket launch. And just like with a literal launch, there are a team of people that are tasked with making a set of decisions to get the payload up into orbit. Now, the danger for a church is that as individuals, we don't think we're on the team. We think that the team is somebody else and that we are really not all involved and our contribution really doesn't matter that much. But each of us is both, at the same time, the launch team and a passenger. We're both at the same time. And personal choices determine corporate character for launching well. So I'd like to ask you this morning, if you have your Bibles or your device, to open, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 43. In Isaiah 43, we're going to run into some really powerful words this morning. Because as a prophet, Isaiah was speaking for God to be a beacon of hope to the people of his day and a beacon of hope to us in our day. The original audience was about ready to experience a massive transition. So the prophet in Isaiah chapter 43, starting at verse 16, describes how they can face these coming changes. They're going to be incredibly disruptive and in some ways almost overwhelming. Follow along. I'm going to limit myself to just verse 16 to 19, though all the way down to 21 can be very instructive. Follow along, starting at verse 16. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In these short, just few verses that we're going to look at this morning, we are given helpful direction for the decisions we make to how to launch well. And notice what Isaiah the prophet does. The first thing he points to is that we are to remember what only God can do. Again, look at verse 16. What are these opening words describing? What historical event when he says in verse 16, he who made a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters? He's talking about what God did at the Exodus to redeem his people from slavery. And we are reminded in verse 16 and verse 17 of several very encouraging things that original audience needed to be reminded of and that we need to be reminded of only what God can do. The very first thing is that only God can get us out of what we are caught in. Again, verse 16 describes the Exodus, Israel's bondage as slaves, and then the supernatural work of God to divide the sea and get his people out of Egypt. Again, remember, they were trapped there as slaves. They had no way out, And it was really only God himself who had this ability to do the miraculous to redeem them. Some of our transitions can feel like that. Some of our transitions can make us feel like we need our own personal exodus. That we feel trapped. That somehow we've gotten into something that we can't get out of. We don't have the resources, we don't have the wisdom, we don't have the energy to get ourselves free. And yet what Isaiah the prophet is reminding us by the Spirit of God is that it's wonderful to realize I can't do it, but he can. Our God is the only one who can get us out of whatever it is that we are caught in. His redemptive power is incredibly strong. Now, this brief reference to the Exodus is also meant to remind us of a second thing as we flow into verse 17. Here's the second thing that only God can do. Only he can defeat those seeking to defeat us. Verse 17. He who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now, I've mentioned this to you before, so it bears repeating, though. When we go through a transition in life, it's going to involve us in warfare. Again, what happened, though, to the Egyptian army that was coming to make war on the fleeing Israelites? When they tried to follow them through the divided Red Sea, God brought the waters back together and he drowned them all. Which means even though some of our transitions that we are going through now or will face sometime in life, they come to us as a result of the actions of others. We can feel attacked because of what they chose. Something's changed. Something has been taken away from us that will never, ever possibly return. And the pressure of all of this from others can feel so intense. We feel like we're on the edge of defeat, and we wonder, is it time just to give up and give in? And it's at that very moment we are to remember what only God can do. He's got the miraculous ability to defeat any direct or even indirect attack. Folks, he is our mighty warrior, and he's able to save. In fact, the very opposition that we face that seems so overwhelming to us, it's nothing to him. Again, look at verse 17. Look at how the last phrase of verse 17 puts it. They lay down there, they're never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. The imagery we're given is that the opposition that's overwhelming to us, to God, it's like he's taking his two fingers, wetting them, and snuffing out a candle. He doesn't even break a sweat. You feeling opposed this morning? Struggling in the transition you're going through? Maybe even wondering or feeling a little overwhelmed about the transition we as a church are going through? Oh, Romans 8:31. Man, you should write it down on a card, put it on the mirror, put it on your refrigerator. If God is for us, who can be against us? So when a transition feels very unsettling because of the changes that are about to come or the changes that are feared that could be about to come, remember what only God can do. He's the only one that can get us out of what we're caught in, and he can defeat those that are seeking to defeat us. And then we come to verse 18, and notice that a shift occurs. The focus moves from what only God can do. Now in verse 18 and 19, we are to remember what only we can do. These next verses focus on the choices then we are to make. Now, understand, they're not a formula. It's not like, well, if I choose A and I choose B, then I'm going to get C. No, rather, these choices are going to involve us in a process. So instead of looking at these choices like it's a formula to use, it's rather more like choices that will help me get into a process, much like tending a garden. I know many of you are gardeners, and you know the process. You put seed in the ground. We water the ground. We add fertilizer. We remove the weeds, we water it some more, and then over time, something begins to grow out of the ground. But all along, the choices that we made, it simply encouraged the process. As we face this pastoral transition as a church, Isaiah first points out the choice of letting go of what was. Look at verse 18. The Lord says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Okay, stop for a minute. What does that mean? It can't mean forget the past completely, because in verse 16 and 17, Isaiah just wanted us to remember what only God can do and remember what he's done in the past, especially at the Exodus. So it can't mean that. I think what the intent of verse 18 is that when I forget the former things, I'm making a choice to relax my grip on the past. Okay, think about this. When we are facing a transition, and that transition means we are going to have to deal with change, in the face of change, what do we want? We want things to remain the same. So our knee-jerk reaction in the face of change is to hang on tight to what was. Why? Because the past, we liked it that way. It was comfortable, it was enjoyable, it was familiar to us. But the interesting thing is, to move into a transition well, the beginning is an ending, a letting go. And the first choice, verse 18, is to let the past go. It's a letting go of what was. Bluntly, it's to understand things at Moraga Valley Press are not going to be the same. So to forget the former things and not to dwell on the past, as verse 18 says, is to choose. It's a choice to not let the past captivate my attention. Or another way you may want to put it is neglect the past. Just neglect it. We neglect potted plants in our home. We don't give them water. We don't give them fertilizer. We neglect our car when we don't service it. We don't wash it. We neglect our spouse when we don't give them the attention that they really deserve. So to neglect or to forget the past means we don't give it attention. Now, can we remember that event? Well, sure. Did that event happen? Well, obviously it happened, and I think about it maybe at times. But whether the past was positive or whether the past was painful, to neglect it means I'm choosing to no longer allow it to have an influence in my life. I'm refusing to let it impact my decisions. I refuse to let it impact my priorities, my values, or my behavior. Do some of you need to do that this morning? Do some of you right here in this room, right here at this time, need to ask the Lord to give you the help to release your grip on what was? And by the way, remember, it's not going to happen overnight. It'll be a process. It'll take time. And keeping it in context here, it will be much easier to release and let go if we'll choose then to do the next thing as well. And that is then verse 19, to embrace the journey towards what will be. Verse 19, the Lord says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Understand this, that when God brings a transition into your life, he has something new in mind. Now think about that word new that's used here in verse 9. New. Something is only truly new when we didn't know about it before. It's only new when we've never seen it before. It's only new if we've never experienced it before. I am doing a new thing, says the Lord. Isn't it interesting? Our God loves to do new things. I mean, think about it. We all have experienced it. Just think back about growing up through the various stages of life that God has put you through. You know, there were times when new things just appeared in your life, and there were God-designed things. As you grew up, suddenly you realized, I have talents I didn't know I had. As you grow, those abilities mature. Potentially, as you grow, God brings a spouse to journey through in life. New things as children come into your home. God loves to do new things. We experience it all the time. The danger is verse 19. Look at the second part of it. We can miss it. We can miss the new thing that's springing forth. Because the new thing that God often does isn't an explosion. It's not like some overnight sensation. Rather, look at that term, spring up. That Hebrew phrase is describing the sprouting of a plant from a little seed. The new thing will unfold over time, just like seeds spring up out of the ground. So put these two together. The need is to let go of the past in order to embrace the future. It goes the other way, too. We'll embrace the future as we let go of the past. And by the way, this is just not simply an Old Testament concept. This is also very much New Testament thinking. You don't have to turn there, but let me read to you from Paul's own words as he applied this to his own life in Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Ooh, what's the one thing, Paul? Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Wow. Pretty practical advice about the critical choices to make when we face a transition. Remember, but what only God can do, but also remember what only we can do. And that touches us as a church very practically this morning. Because I'd like to back up and just take one of these choices that not only Isaiah the prophet mentioned, but also Paul both spoke to. And that is, let me drill down for a few minutes on the choice to let go. We want to launch well with Brandon. And so let me unpack what letting go practically means. Dave Ricketts, back in his New Year's Day message, started to bring this to our attention. I just would like to go down more deeper into that for a few minutes this morning. And there are four specific areas that I would like to bring to your attention for your consideration about what does it really mean practically for every single one of us in this room, or whether we're even online, to let go. We don't have seatbelts in the pews, but I would encourage you to buckle them up. Just like the pilot says, we're going to hit some turbulence. We're going to hit some turbulence here, okay? So hang in there with me. Buckle up. First, there needs to be a letting go of expectations. Expectations. What are expectations? Okay, expectations is that strong belief that somebody will do or should do something. So expectations will mean, what is it that Brandon's going to do? See, some of you here can't wait to get an appointment with Brandon to outline your agenda for his life. In other words, Moraga Valley Press will grow if you'll just focus on my favorite ministry or start this brand new ministry. Or you're going to tell him, Brandon, you need to give attention to what you believe has been neglected around here, and Brandon, quit wasting church resources on that ministry over there. Now, you may never say it, but you may want him to try to return Moraga Valley Press to some former glory day that you remember so fondly. Will you also let go of the expectation that he is this church's Messiah? And that our future depends on him? Now, that's not to say that he doesn't play an important role. He does. His giftedness is important to us. But the future here belongs to what we all do. In addition, will you please let go of the expectation that Brandon is going to be perfect? I can tell you right here today, he will make mistakes. He's going to disappoint some of you, maybe some of you very, very deeply. It's going to happen because he's human. So don't put him on a perfectionistic standard that you wouldn't want someone to use on you. Let all these kinds of expectations go. Let God use Brandon, like the Apostle Paul said, to lead us all in pursuing that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't look back, look forward, believing that the best days of this church lie yet ahead, not behind us. Remember, we can learn from the past, but we can't return to the past. And one part of letting the past go is to let go of our expectations. Number two, the second area to release is a letting go of comparisons. If our expectations are a focus on what Brandon will do, then comparisons is a focus on what others do, and then using that to judge Brandon. And how easy it would be to compare him to other pastors. And again, we may never say it out loud anyway, but we may think to ourselves, well, he's not Jim. He's not Rob. He's not like Ricketts or Miles or Foster. Or he isn't like the pastor I came from in the church prior to moving here. If I hear that you tell Brandon, well, that's not the way our former pastor did it, I will come back here and throw rocks at your house. I mean, I will. And by the way, please don't compare his preaching to your favorite preacher who may have a national media or internet presence. Allow Brandon's study in God's Word each week to touch your heart as it reveals God's heart for you. Let him do that. Let him bless you that way. And third, don't compare personalities. Let Brandon be himself. I mean, don't evaluate him because in the past you had a pastor who was more humorous or more engaging or more serious or more whatever is on your list. If God has led in the process to bring Brandon to us here at this church, then his unique personality and gift mix is exactly what we need. Now, the first two, expectations and comparisons, focus on the what. What he will do or what others do, and then we compare him with that. Let it go. Now we have two more to talk about. The next two don't focus on the what, they focus on the how. Third, there needs to be a letting go of preferences. Preferences, that's a focus on how things get done. Now we're not talking about right and wrong here. Rather, the way we would prefer that something gets accomplished. Now, typically, in a church context, our preferences quickly rise to the surface when we start talking about how do we do church? And we can easily allow the past to influence us here. See, we remember a former time at Moraga Valley Press, and we think if we just started doing now what we used to do back then everything would be just fine. Or we can let what other churches are currently doing influence us, which means we slip into a franchise mentality that just because it's working in LA or Dallas or Charlotte or Atlanta, and we think, well, if we just adopt that and drop it in here, then we're going to be great. Now, understand, folks, it's not wrong to have preferences. As long as we're honest that there are preferences and not absolutes. And that there are many, many ways to do church. So when we discuss how to do church, let's all keep in mind James chapter 1 and verse 19, to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Let it go. Let go of expectations, let go of comparisons, let go of preferences. Let me give you one last area to consider anyway. Is it time this morning to let go of offenses? Offenses. Preferences are a focus on how ministry is done. Then that means offenses is a focus on how I have been hurt here. And so as one of my last pastoral acts, let me speak candidly, yet let me also try to speak tenderly to many of you. Has the last 2 to 3 years around here wounded you? Meaning by that there's a sense of grief because of loss that's entered your life, and because of that, you feel stuck, as if you can't move on. Maybe the pain came from what somebody else has done. It was their choices that kind of splashed over on you. It disappointed you. It offended you. It hurt you. This morning is the time to let it go, please. And the path forward to becoming unstuck is to forgive them. It doesn't matter if they wanted it. It doesn't matter if they ever accept that they did something wrong. Unilaterally, you can choose, I forgive. You can, and you can do that this morning. Or it could be that it's not what somebody else has done to you. It could be that it's what you did. That the wound you have is a result of your choices, your behavior. It's maybe what you said, and you realize today it's too late to go back and take it back. It's too late to undo all the consequences. Could it be that the start of your healing this morning is to experience divine forgiveness, to say, God, please forgive me, and to receive what he has offered to you in Jesus Christ? Or have you been hurt because of what God's allowed? Are you angry with him this morning? And are you willing this morning just even to admit it? By the way, God can handle it. He's got big shoulders. He can handle our anger. But are you ready to let it go this morning and humbly accept that even though you don't understand it, even though it still seems incredibly unfair, he is still God and you're not, and there isn't an opening for you to be the fourth member of the Trinity? Let it go. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. It means letting go of our expectations, our comparisons, our preferences, and our offenses in order to embrace the new thing, and we don't miss as it springs up. It's the future God has in mind for us. Did you hear that comedian Jeff Goldblatt started a Get Over It Day? It was mentioned in Good Morning America, and it happens March 9th of every year. Here's his idea. Goldblatt's idea behind Get It Over Day or Get Over It Day is simply this. All of us have something, whether it's stressful school or work situations, our fears and insecurities, embarrassing moments, bad relationships, disappointments, and so on. And he wants Get Over It Day to motivate people to move on, no matter how deep the scars are. to be able to move on. If Jeff can do it, then I can do it. So I'm going to proclaim today, Sunday, January 29th, is Let It Go Day. And as part of preparing to launch with Brandon, this is the day to let go of our expectations, our comparisons, our preferences, and our offenses. And that together we're going to look to the new thing that God says is going to spring up among us and not miss it. Now, I want to do more than just declare that this is Let It Go Day. I want us to dedicate ourselves to it. So we're going to end by doing something a little unusual. We're going to pray, but it's what I want you to do before we pray. And that is, in just a second, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and then we'll do it, okay? In just a second, I'm going to ask you to stand. And I know you're somewhat scattered out a little bit. What I'm going to want you to do is to everybody move towards the center so you're right next to somebody. In other words, I don't want there to be a break in any of the rows. And if you're in the only person in your row, then I'm going to encourage you to stand up and move back to be in a row. I want us all next to each other, and I want us all to link arms. Have I made that clear what I'm asking you to do? Okay, let's do it. Everybody stand up and move so that across the rows, there's no unbroken, like moving across the aisles if you need to. But I want us all, even across the aisles, to be able to stand and link arms with the person next to you. Everybody linked? We are His church. We are His people. And yes, there are individual choices to make going forward. But folks, we're going to go forward together. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we do want our personal choices to contribute to the corporate experience of launching well with Brandon. And that means we all have something to let go. Forgetting the former things in order to embrace the wonderful future that you have planned for us. So together, as we've linked arms here in this room this morning, help us to let go of unrealistic expectations, of unfair comparisons, of personal preferences, and maybe the hardest of all, of my tightly held offenses. May nothing compel us as a church except the reality of Christ's love for us and our love for Him. Lord, we all want to be a part of this new upward trajectory that you have in mind for us. So, Father, I commit myself to not stand aloof. I will not consider this to be somebody else's responsibility. I'm all in. So may my choices and my behavior glorify you. Lord, would you do this in me? Would you do this in us as a church? Lord, this is our bold and yet humble prayer before you this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.